First of all, I'd like to acknowledge my authors, Dr. Conrad and Dr. Succo. What I'm talking about today really has taken a team approach to succeed. Nothing that I'm reporting on takes any one person, or could even take one person. And I have to say that I wanted to thank them and acknowledge them right away. So I'm going to talk about the Illinois Eye Institute at Princeton Elementary School. It is a school-based vision clinic that is providing eye care services to any child within the Chicago Public School System. To give you a little background, I know we've all heard a lot about the Chicago Public Schools this year. It's been probably in the news from coast to coast. But while our teachers are very well paid, I think you need to have a little understanding about the school district itself. There are 675 schools within the Chicago Public School District. They have an enrollment of 404,000 children. Of those, 41% are African American and 44% are Latino. And that accounts for about 85% of the children attending the Chicago Public Schools. Keep those numbers in mind because it's going to reflect in some of the data that I'm going to show. 87% of the children who are attending the Chicago Public Schools are from low-income families, which to me was boggling because we know that within the Chicago system, we have a lot of middle and upper-income families. The challenge is, where are all those children going to school? It's not within the public school system. To give you some background on what the Chicago Public Schools does with respect to vision screenings and exams, they screen the vision of pre-K kids, second graders, and eighth grade students. They have a whole group of vision and hearing technicians that are well trained and travel around the city ensuring that all of those children are screened regularly. So they have a system which ensures that the reporting is done and that it's complete. The children that are actually referred for care are children who are new to the district. State of Illinois has a mandatory requirement that anybody entering the school district for the first time is required to have a comprehensive eye exam. And it's been very interesting for our clinic to be a part of that system. In addition, children who are supposed to be evaluated for special education services and individual education plan are supposed to have an eye exam as a part of that process, but they are not always referred for an eye exam. For whatever reason, we've been trying to understand and work with the counselors to ensure that the recommendations are actually taking place, but it's a process. Whenever you work with an organization as large as the Chicago Public School System, it is a process, and a challenging process at that. And children who are referred to us are the ones that have been identified by the teachers or the counselors or somebody within the educational environment that looks like maybe they have a vision problem. Children who've had glasses and no longer have them because they're broken or lost, or children who are actually failed the vision screenings. So those are the kids that are out there. During the 2011-2012 year, 182,000 children were actually screened by the technicians. Of those children, 30,715 actually failed the screening, and they retest all the failures to ensure that they're actually failures. In addition, 2,400 kids were actually referred because they had glasses or broke them. The challenge was, the data shows that 8,073 of those 33,000 were documented as actually having received the services. And a good percentage of those children were identified because the data from our clinic goes into the student's school record. 25,000 children who failed the screenings or referred for eye exams did not get any documentation that was actually followed up. So we really have a situation where there is a great deal of follow-up in the referral process through parents and caregivers. There's also the challenge within the city of Chicago that there's a lack of access to appropriate services. And since the majority of these children are low income, many of them are under the state health insurance, whether it's kid care or Medicaid. Practitioners accepting kid care and Medicaid are few. There are some resources through the Vision Service Plan, but unless you have a Social Security number, you can't access those vouchers. And we have a large undocumented population within the Chicago Public School System. So the Chicago Public School System has been looking over the years for mechanisms to really address the need within their school district. Early in the, I think it was about 10 years ago, we worked with them. They bused children into the Illinois Eye Institute Eye Clinic It was a nightmare. We'd have children coming in an hour late, children coming in without consent, disrupted the students' process because our clinicians are only in clinic for a limited period of time. It was a nightmare. After that, CPS looked for other alternatives. They contracted with various other providers within the Chicago system. Also not very successful. Some of them were unsuccessful for financial reasons. Others were other issues that made it not a good way of continuing the service. So CPS came to the Illinois College of Optometry, Illinois Eye Institute leadership, and said, how can we work together to develop a model? And as a result of that, we opened a school-based vision clinic in January of 2011. It took several years of working together. It was a very interesting process. Originally, we were going into one school that was located in a very nice area by the University of Illinois School of Public Health. The challenge was all of a sudden that area around that school became gentrified, and the neighborhood wanted that school for their kids. So they went searching for another program. They found a kindergarten center located about 9 minutes away from the college that was closed. It had been used as a regular elementary school and then closed down because of poor academic performance. The good thing was this school was actually wheelchair accessible, which was much better. It was closer. It had parking accessible for our students that come over from the Illinois Eye Institute. So it was actually an ideal building. We were able to convert it so that we changed four kindergarten rooms into 13 refracting lanes. In addition, we had a multitude of the other rooms that we converted into different things. We have an entrance testing room, a registration room, a dispensary, plus we have an office. Now, I'm not going to tell you this is the most beautiful building. Working within the Chicago Public School System, I actually had a consultant for CPS come in as a parent, and she said, hasn't anybody painted this building in a number of years? So obviously we don't have the prettiest building, but it has been an absolutely wonderful experience for both the students from the Illinois College of Optometry, the students from the Chicago Public School System, and the individuals that have been working in the program. We have every day 9 to 13 Illinois College of Optometry students. Every third year optometric clinician rotates through our clinic at some point, and some of the fourth years come back for their second rotation. We have four faculty precepting or staff optometrists precepting, and I have five staff members, two that are more involved with the registration and the patient financial side, and three opticians, which are very important and almost not enough. We do comprehensive eye care. We're not changing what we do as far as the quality of care we're providing, and that's been one of the challenges with some of the partners CPS has found. We provide comprehensive eye care as if they walked into our doors at the Illinois Eye Institute. The challenge is when you have a bus of 40 to 50 kids coming into a clinic all at one time at 9 o'clock in the morning and they have to be done by 12:30, you need to have a process. And you also don't want to have them sitting in one place for 2 hours before you bring them in. So we've created a mechanism where they kind of move around the building and we keep them engaged so that boredom or the behavior problems that you see associated with fourth and fifth grade kids getting bored so that there's constant movement around. We start where they walk in the building and they get counted. We are a field trip for the Chicago Public School System. Never thought of an eye exam as a field trip, but that's how we're referred. They walk into the building and they get labeled. Labels have this big eye if you can dilate them. And the eye says no if we're not. So as soon as that child's identified as somebody we don't have permission to dilate, we put a lovely yellow lantern that says no dilation with the idea that we want to follow whatever the parents' wishes are. The Chicago Public School System is responsible for ensuring that our consent forms are completed. And that's a pretty challenging process considering it's a four-page consent form. Originally when we opened, they called us a free clinic. That was not what we were. We were a clinic that doesn't charge our patients any money, but we are not a free clinic. We provide everything that the child needs. We just don't ask them for money. We utilize other resources, financial resources. So kids move into our entrance testing room, and that really provides all the basic things that if you were in a private practice, you might have your technicians do. Visual acuities, autokeratometry, autorefraction, color vision, stereopsis, convergence, and tonometry. And then the kids are sort of hovered into a little hallway and they go downstairs. Our security staff actually focus them into a particular area, divides up the non-dilators with the dilators, and as soon as one of our clinicians is ready, they come downstairs and they're put into an exam chair. You get the same exam as you would get anyplace else. Full exam including cover tests, retinoscopy, refraction, vergences, accommodation. Faculty members are overseeing those students in the rooms. And what we do is because we're all in one large room, we know what's going on in each of the stations, and we're there if there's any challenges. We do have a few kids that may be a little challenging. Some lingerers come in. It's very challenging when you have a 7 or 8 year old little girl that's telling you she can't see anything that you present, and then you put a quarter diopter and all of a sudden she's 20/20. So we have that. It's a good learning experience for our clinicians because they don't see a lot of children on campus. And this is their opportunity to really learn how to deal with children. They do the refraction. Every child who has permission is dilated. And what we do is, after they're dilated, we put these little tags on in red, says I'm dilating, and a blue tag if they need glasses. So we send them down to the opticians, and they know immediately who needs glasses. We try to get those children to choose their glasses while they can still see before that dilation or the cycloplegic effect starts to take effect. They go in, they pick out their glasses. This is a Chicago Public School program, so they ensure that every child gets a healthy lunch while they're there. So while they're dilating, they go in the room, they get their lunch, they come back out. We auto-refract them wet because we have lots of children who have latent hyperopia that really isn't always identified unless you cycloplegic patients. We send them back in, they get an internal evaluation, and then the faculty fills out a vision report card. It's a summary that goes home to the parents. If that individual needs any additional care, there's a separate sheet that goes back that's in English on one side and Spanish on the other, so that if somebody's amblyopic or strabismic and we want follow-up, that information is handed back so that the parents could actually read it. So that what we found is that 75% of our children are actually in need of corrective eyewear, which is the reason that's so high is because the kids that we're seeing are the children that have been referred. We are not seeing everybody. We're seeing the kids that really need the care. 80% of our glasses are coming in through our state health coverage, which is Illinois Department of Public Aid. In the state of Illinois, glasses are made by the prisoners. It's challenging to get those glasses in time. It usually takes 6 to 8 weeks, was a part of our challenge. Completed orders are held until all of the school's glasses are in, and then one of my opticians will actually take those glasses and go to the school and deliver the glasses to the children. The difficulty we have is at the end of the year, oftentimes those glasses can't be delivered until the next year, and the difficulty there is there's a lot of movement around with the school. So our experience in the first year, and I'm just going to tell you that right now, these numbers are 5,000. We've seen over 9,600 kids up to this point in time. So we saw 5,000 kids between January and December. Majority of the kids were female, but it's pretty close, pretty even. Our distribution is between, we have some infants as well as children up to 22, just under 22, because in the state of Illinois, you can be within the Chicago Public School System until just before you reach your 22nd birthday, whether you're special needs or some of the alternative high schools for those children who've had academic difficulties or behavioral problems or may have been within the juvenile justice system. We're seeing those kids as well. So it's a very diverse group of individuals. The mean age, however, is about 11 years of age. The distribution of our kids by race is very interesting. 61% are African Americans, 33% are Hispanic, and everybody else falls into the others. We're seeing all the schools fall into the geographic region within a few miles of our clinic, but we're also pulling from kids that have to drive 35, 40 minutes to get to our school. So the kids we saw over that past year represented 228 schools. Not that 228 schools came in as a bus. We are open for walk-ins from 8:30 to 9:30 every morning. And what's interesting, in the short period of time we've been open, the walk-ins have tripled. You know, I might have a bus of 45 kids coming in and 13 walk-ins come in at the same time. We never know. We try not We try not to limit that, if at all possible, but there are days when there's only so many clinicians to see so many patients, and we try to make it as, so that they can be out on time to go to their next rotation. Of the schools, the 228 schools we've seen, 204 are schools that have 80% of those children that falling below the federal poverty level. 168 of those schools represented 90% of the students attending fall below the federal poverty level. And CPS has a benefits committee that identifies which of those children are low income. One of the benefits we have is a benefits committee person sits in our building. So if somebody comes in who is not on Medicaid or KidCare, and we think that there may be an opportunity for them to be covered, we send them down to the benefits person, and they work with the family to try to register them. And that gives them resources that include free and reduced lunches, as well as other healthcare services. So the kids that we're seeing are kids that are really needy. You'll see, on the left side, these are the visual acuities, the entering visual acuities. We only do entering visual acuities with glasses if they have glasses, and without glasses if they don't. And as you'll notice, that a majority of our kids that we saw had visual acuities poorer than 20/40th. And we actually had 19 children that showed no light perception in the right eye. The refractive errors that we're seeing have ranged in the sphere from -14.75 to +17.25. But interestingly enough, you'll notice that in the dry refraction, it's -0.25, and the wet, which we prefer to do, is +0.4. The reality is, though, 75% of these kids are away from plus and minus a half diopter. We've also found that amblyopia is prevalent in 8.5% of our kids. That's not what you're going to find in a general population. In the general population, the data shows it's anywhere between 1 to 4%. We're seeing 8.5. And 6.2 of our kids have strabismus. There's a number of ocular health problems we're finding, which is part of our challenge, because oftentimes these kids need additional care and a refer for additional care. One of the things we feel very strongly about is we have to let people know we're out there. You only get the support for your program if you let people identify you as a new model, and we are a unique model in that we serve an entire school district. We've had something in the AOA News. We've had something in the Nation's Health. The conclusions that we have is there is a large unmet need for vision care within the Chicago Public School System. Our clinic has been providing primary eye care and really access to refractive correction and with limited follow-up for that first year. We've learned that there is a significant need for secondary eye care. We've been referring these patients to the Illinois Eye Institute for much of the care or to other resources. We actually had a pediatric ophthalmologist with us who was able to get our kids into the University of Chicago when appropriate. The challenge is that most of those people we referred for additional care did not access it, and that's been a problem. We've also decided that being open in the mornings only has really limited us. We found that there is a need to expand our hours, and we've hired a staff optometrist that now sees patients 3 afternoons a week, providing direct primary care as well as secondary care, vision therapy, as well as visual processing assessments. The challenge we had with referrals we're addressing by having an AmeriCorps person who started in September assisting us with communicating with the families and the schools to try to get the parents to understand the need for that additional services, bringing them back and the follow-up care, whether it be at the Princeton program or at the Eye Institute or wherever that family might like to access services. We are looking to expand what kind of services we provide by writing grants for an OCT and camera. We feel very strongly that this is a unique program. We feel that it's been a very successful process. There are many challenges. There's lots more children within the Chicago Public School System that need service. And we find that oftentimes that the schools have difficulty engaging the parents enough to get the consent forms completed so that the kids who need the service most are finding us. We've been very fortunate to be able to work with Alliance. We are one of the 4 pilots in the United States to treat uncorrected refractive error. We started this program October 1st so that we use lenses that are 10,000 pair of lenses were donated to our program, and children are receiving a pair of glasses within 2 weeks of their exam, and then they'll get the state pair a little while later. So the idea is that they actually are receiving glasses in a very timely manner, which makes things for a much better system for the kids. One of the kids we saw in the last 3 weeks was a 15 diopter myope whose glasses broke 3 years ago. And I can't imagine how has this child been able to function in an academic setting. The other thing we're very fortunate for is we have a number of sponsors. Kids are very engaging for many of the foundations that are out there, but everybody wants us to become a sustainable program. We will never be sustainable without some grant funding, but we look to broaden our program and be out there for the Chicago Public Schools for years to come. Thank you.